Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Now, Jade, we are giving away Joy's CD of the week, which is Rufus Wainwright's brand new album.
Yes, it's called Out of the Game. If you want to go into the draw to win it, you have to text us 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au who is your favourite out artist. We've had some come in already, Dave.
Yes.
Missy Higgins.
Missy Higgins is a text that we got.
Yeah.
And the other selection is Mick from Melbourne saying Sam Sparrow.
Yes.
That's a good one. I mean, Jade, you and I arguably have quite different tastes in music. So you
Yes, arguably, yes.
Theoretically, technically, on all levels.
In all levels, literally.
Yeah, categorically.
Yeah.
You like indie pop music. So Rufus Wainwright, you know, Missy Higgins possibly is something right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
For me, see, I like myself some Sam Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
I like myself some Will Young,
mm-hmm.
Darren Hayes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I love pop music. So really, there's out artists in every genre of music.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I personally feel like my side is better, but, you know.
This is typical Jade. She is so competitive about everything. My kind of artists are better. My kind of artists are more credible. But you know what?
My kind of artists have CD booklets that smell nicer. Like,
since when was that a ground for competition, really? I know I sniff CD booklets.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Better album artwork.
That is sometimes true because I've noticed that a lot of indie artists do have, you know, nicer illustrations perhaps.
Because it's not a bit, like, it's very rarely portraits. You find with a lot of pop artists, it's like all about the glamour shot.
Oh,
whereas, like,
stop
you
it.
Know, it's a bit more artistic with indie artists.
It's different kinds of artistic,
but
Jade.
I think, you know, people like Tegan and Sarah.
Yes.
Great out artists.
Great out artists. And another great out artist that we like to celebrate here at Joy is, of course, Adam Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got his brand new single, Never Close Our Eyes, right now here, ready to let you guys have it. So, really excited about his album Trespassing. But what was interesting about Adam is that in a recent interview, he did say that he feels that, you know, the gay community and gay fans are, you know, very eager to celebrate a strong female, but to celebrate a fellow gay man, it gets a bit catty sometimes, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's the case, Jade?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for gay men, but it did kind of remind me of, like, the competition between women that happens sometimes where it gets, like, you know, there's that kind of underlying bitchiness about, oh, well, I'm going to try and knock her down. You know, that kind of...
her clothes are nice.
Oh, look what she's wearing. That doesn't match with that. You know, that kind of competition that happens. So, yeah, I imagine that would be quite frustrating. And he's very high profile too.
He's a very high-profile out artist. So, you know, with a lot of success comes a lot of negativity, as yeah. Beyonce once said.
Beyonce once said many things, hasn't she? She basically once said everything.
Okay, so Dave, You must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. It is 19 minutes to 7. Dave, I checked out Touch on Sunday night, which just it was its first episode on Channel 10, and it's, you know, it was being really hyped because it was like the new series starring Keith of Sutherland, so his first sort of role after 24, which ran for a huge amount of years. But what actually really interested me in the show was one of the creators, Tim Kring, created Heroes, which I loved the first season of Heroes. It was a great, like, really interesting show. Admittedly, it kind of went downhill after that. But so Touch, basically, Kiefer Sutherland is playing a guy called Martin. He's got his son called Jake, who is he's mute. And what was really interesting about it is in the opening sort of couple of minutes, you get inside Jake's head. So he's, you know, narrating, despite the fact he's, you know, never spoken a word. And throughout the episode, you find out that Jake is, you know, there's sort of these family issues going on, but he's able to predict future events.
Okay, so he's a little That's So Raven from Disney.
Have you ever seen That's So Raven?
This is what's beautiful about Different Strokes, because, you know, this is where camp and geek collide. So you and your, you know, oh, this is the writer from Heroes kind of stuff, and I'll come in with my Disney Channel classics. But That's So Raven was a similar thing. So she could see into the future, but I'm sure this one is probably less comical.
And it's based around, and like, numbers, really, right? So basically, because he doesn't speak, he'll write numbers over and over again. And how the series is going to roll out. Basically, now each week Jake will have these numbers, and, you know, Martin then goes around and figures out, you know. So you've got like that long term thing of, you know, there's this.
What's
he trying to figure out? But then each episode there's sort of a contained little mystery happening.
Yeah, Jade, what I wanted to know is that, is this sort of like a post apocalyptic kind of thing? Is it end of the world kind of thing?
No, but I think it's really kind of hopeful and utopian in a way.
Oh, okay.
Because there's, you know, throughout the first episode, say, you know, there's a guy who's in England, there's a little kid in Iraq.
He can see globally.
Yeah, and it talks about the connections, you know, the random series of events that connect all of these people together. So it is a bit hopeful in that, you know, there's this uplifting message of we can, you know, we're all interrelated, we're all the one people.
And thus the title Touch.
Yeah, which is what I found really good about it. And, you know, and I hope Heroes got really complicated in season two when they introduced all of these new characters. So it was quite a wide selection of, it was, a broad selection of characters to begin with. And then season two, they brought in more. Where here you've got, like, you know, you've got the two main characters, and then you've got a couple of sub characters. Like, for example, Danny Glover plays like an expert who it deals with people with what's called numerical clairvoyance, which is what this kid has. So, you know, and then there's a caseworker for him. So it's a quite a small cast, and then each week there's a new set of people who rotate through.
Yeah, so you don't get bored seeing the same few people. You get the, you know, influx of new characters, but they don't stay very long to confuse you.
Yeah, because, you know, and that's what got really confusing about Heroes. You're like, I'm just trying to get used to the 10 or so characters you've got, and now you're bringing in another 4 or 5. I really enjoyed it, it had a 13-episode run in the US, and there's no word on season two or anything yet, but it's on Sunday nights on Channel 10, so definitely
it'd be interesting to see if Australians take to it as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jade.
It's 18 minutes past 7 here on Joy 94.9. This is Different Strokes with Jade and Dave. We are talking your favourite Our Artists.
Your favourite Our Artists, because we want an opportunity to gift you Joy's CD of the week, which is Rufus Wainwright's brand new album,
Out of the Game. We've had some texts come in. Good morning. My all-time favourite Our Artist has to be Melissa Etheridge. I'm loving you guys Guys on Breakfast. Such a good start to the day. Thanks, Jess.
Melissa Etheridge, classic.
Very classic.
Yes, respect.
Tamsin says, great work this morning, guys. Greatly enjoying. My favourite out singer is Will Young.
Oh, yes!
Definitely, Tamsin's definitely on your side, Dave.
Oh, I'm waving my handkerchief in the air. I'm like, preach, preach, Tamsin, preach. Because I love me some Will Young as well. So that's the beauty about being here at Joy, because you get to have such a variety of out artists from every lane of music. And it really is that diversity that we're looking for and that we're celebrating here on Different Strokes, because Jade's a fan of indie music, I'm a fan of pop music, and right now we've got an interview with a fantastic indie duo, in fact, Anne Horse.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about your catch-up with Kate from Anne
Horse. Yeah, so Kate from Anne Horse, who actually is an out artist too, but had a great chat with her yesterday. They're back in Australia. They're an Australian band who are based in the US, and we had a great little chat about, you know, she even thinks the sky is higher in Australia than it is in America. So
how did she come to that conclusion?
I don't know, but listen to it. It's seriously an interesting conversation, and yeah, they're playing Friday night, so tomorrow night at the Corner Hotel. So if you're interested,
if you're in Melbourne, go show Anne Horse some love.
Yeah,
But if you want to go into the draw to win the Rufus Wainwright CD of the week,
yes, text us 0427 joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Who is your favourite out artist? Make sure you include your Joy member number.
This is Anne Horse and Jade having a chat.
Next up, after watching Coffee Time on YouTube, I want to make sure that you've had your coffee before we start this interview.
You know what? I haven't, and I'm pacing. I'm out to breakfast with a friend, and I'm pacing back and forth outside the cafe, because the minute my coffee is delivered, I'm going to swoop in and get it, because I haven't drunk any yet.
When I talked to you this time last year about Walls, the album was about to come out, and you said you were really nervous about the response. A year on, what's the reaction been, and what kind of feedback have you been getting?
You know what? I think it's been positive, but I'm not one to read that many reviews. So I know people liked it and people bought it and people stole it. So, I mean, that's always a good sign. So yeah. I'm happy with it, and we're still playing shows on it. So I guess that means it was a job well done, I guess. Basically, my mum liked it. So yeah. That's all that matters.
So that counts.
Yeah, it's the biggest factor.
You spend so much of your time in the US. Does that change your perception of home at all?
Well, I actually live over there now. Yeah, I miss home so badly. And like, you know, when I'm back in Australia, this morning I walked out of my hotel and I, you know, just breathed in the air and I was like, oh my God, I miss this place. You know, Australia really, really is home. And I know that I will get back here very soon. Well, not very soon, but at some point. It just, you know, it means so much to me and I really do appreciate it. Yeah, so I think it changes my, it changes my perspective on home, and that it makes me really love it more and appreciate it so much. It's such a beautiful country. We are so spoiled.
What do you miss the most about Australia?
I mean, I guess it's my family and friends, but it's also, it's just a beautiful place. I miss the environment. I miss the beach. Mm-hmm. I miss the skies. We have very high skies. And that's something I noticed. I always get here and I walk around just looking up thinking, oh my God, the sky is so high. It's beautiful.
I love that you think it's a different height.
It is. There is different sky level. I'm sure of it.
Do you run up and down the aisles of supermarkets all over the US looking for native Australian products?
No, but mainly when I get home to Australia, I wander around supermarkets here looking at things and wishing I was eating all the things that were in supermarkets here.
Spending so much time on the road, what are your road trip survival tips?
Jog, go to the gym, at the hotel, eat well, make your own coffee. Stay in contact with your friends and family.
You toured Australia last year for the first time in a long time, and now you're back less than 12 months later. Last time we talked, you mentioned you weren't even sure if anyone in Australia cared. Did the last tour allay your fears, and did you get hooked on touring Australia again?
I always love touring Australia. It's awesome. And I guess it did allay my fears somewhat, but that doesn't mean I'm not nervous about people coming to these shows. Mm-hmm. I'm just a paranoid person, so... It's going to be normal for me to be paranoid. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to spend more time here playing, but the thing is, it's just not that big.
What can we expect from this show compared to your last round of shows?
I don't know. It's going to be good. We're going to play some different songs, and we've been out on the road for 6 weeks in the States, so we've got a nice kind of set. I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun because it's at the end of the record cycle, and Damon and I just want to have some fun, and it's a lot less stressful for us right now, and it's going to be a good time.
I follow you guys on Instagram, and I love it when you post those quirky pictures from the road, like the one of the alien close encounter mural and you with a fiberglass dinosaur. What's the quirkiest place you visited while on the road?
See, people often tell me that we're quirky, and it's nothing intentional. Like a gas recently or petrol recently, and the place had alpacas and llamas, and I don't know, it was weird. I don't think the guy actually even sold much gas. I don't know what he did, but there's some weird places.
Thanks a lot, Kate, for joining us.
Thank you. See ya.
Jade, we did have a text come in saying that this person says that they're not a Joy member, but their favourite band is Aha Her.
Definitely my side of the playlist.
Jade loves indie music, and then this person went on to say, also solo artist Darren Hayes, which speaks to my musical.
Sounds like a real child of different strokes there.
Sounds like a true stroker. A stroker, which is, somebody who finds themselves with qualities that Jade and I possess. Now we sounding braggy.
Backdoor brag.
Backdoor bragging.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
It's 13 minutes to 8 here on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave on Different Strokes. Out artists still coming in.
Yes, absolutely love it, because we just played Scissor Sisters' new single, Only the Horses. So really, we are in the mood for celebrating out artists here. And we just gave away Rufus Wainwright's
album.
Yes, but we had a text here coming from Larissa from Footscray.
And she said, hi guys, Anthony Kalia is my favourite out artist, and I'm very proud to say I was one of his music teachers back in the day.
Oh, Larissa, do you know what? We do have an Anthony Kalia track coming real soon.
Yes.
So this will be a treat for you.
Yeah, you can count on it.
Yeah, you can count on that. In any case, look, Jade, you and I, we like to get into apps and all that, because we're the modern day person. You know, we've got good enough phones that can facilitate apps and all that, and we also like to stay in touch with news and updates and all that. But let's face it, these days we don't just get our news from one source.
Yes.
So I think it's really helpful if there is perhaps an app that kind of picks out new sources for us according to our needs and what we want to read. So, and you're going to talk about Flipboard, which does that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Flipboard, because for me, Dave, people are always making fun of Twitter, like saying, oh, people are just tweeting about what they're having for breakfast or whatever. To me, that's like, that's the stuff that started happening about, when Oprah got onto Twitter, for example. Like, because,
Oprah talking about her breakfast on Twitter?
No, I just get a bit snobby about, the influx of people that got onto Twitter, because I'd been around Twitter for quite a long time. But I use Twitter purely as a news source because I follow people, have common interests. That's how I find information. Mm. And I find it, news is now breaking so much quicker than you get from other news sites. But Flipboard is an app. It's a free app. And what's kind of interesting is it takes things like Twitter and turns it into this visual medium, basically. So, you can put in your personal interests. So, like, if you're interested, I've got, my interest is down as, travel and music and film and science and online stuff.
And for me, I've got you can also hook up to major music sites. Like, I think BBC Music is also a stream that you can engage in. Men's Style is one that I subscribe to. Mashable. So those geeks out there who like things like Mashable, Laughing Squid, you can also hook that up to your Flipboard.
And then the other thing that you can do is you can hook your Twitter and your Facebook account up.
So you get all your updates in that one place. Yeah. And also Instagram. The thing about Flipboard that I really like, Jade, is that it's really visual and it's such a tactile experience. Like, it literally, you don't need a tutorial to learn how to use this. And I think that this is the way to go for future technologies. Like, you want people to be able to download something and just move their fingers and figure it out.
It actually takes this good combination between something like, Twitter and that immediacy and that visual format of the magazine. So it's, it's got that. And I really like, when I've got my Twitter hooked up, I like that it turns, the links into something a bit more visual. So then I can kind of see or get an idea about what the link is before I click on the link.
Sometimes you get spam and that's just not pleasant.
Well, you know, there's a lot of information going on out there. It's good to know, should I bother like reading the whole story. Correct. Or yeah.
I started a new job maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, and I was so nervous on my first day there, and I didn't want to show that I was nervous, but there was this whole thing running at the back of my head. I just go, oh my God, you know, I'm in a room full of new people, and I'm it's been a long time since I started a new job or started at a new workplace or any kind of setting like that. So I was trying to calibrate the kind of first impressions I was giving. So just to give you a bit of a background, I started work in local government. So all this fabulosity, you know, I was a bit conscious about not letting them have it too soon. I want to kind of drip feed it. So on my first day, I was just thinking, God, okay, let's try to keep it together, Dave. Let's try to not, you know, hit these people with, you know, with a full Limonce experience. So one of the things that one of my managers asked me on my first day was, oh, you know, so David Lim, do you have any nicknames? What do you prefer for us to call you? And I was just like, oh, you can call me Limmy. You know, my surname's Lim, so you can call me Limmy. Or if you're feeling sassy, you can call me Limonce.
Not really a first day conversation, is it?
Not especially when you're trying to keep it in check, you know? So I don't know why that just came flying out of my mouth. I'm a big Beyonce fan, so I just naturally assume the nickname Limonce. And it's not something friends have, you know, developed and started calling me. It's something I actually came up with myself.
Oh, you did the self nickname.
Isn't that embarrassing?
And there's so many good like TV shows about like the self nickname too. Like on Seinfeld, George tried to give himself the nickname T-Bone. and he ended up with a really bad nickname instead. So, you know, there's like...
Nicknames are meant to be picked for you. You're not meant to assign them yourself is what we're trying to say. So here, look, today we want to give away a double pass to see Naked Boys Singing, which is an off-Broadway show that's coming to Melbourne. And we want to know, what are some of the craziest nicknames you've ever gotten?
Yes.
Whether you've assigned it yourself.
Or yeah, or not. This is Different Strokes here on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. We're asking you for your weird nicknames. And already Dave flooding in. Gavin says, I never had a nickname. I think I intimidate people too much with my presence that they wouldn't have the name to call, the nerve to call me anything but my proper name.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a real boss behavior. And that's what you want. You don't want your staff or, you know, people... Well, inferior to you, if you will,
coming
Gavin.
Coming up with your nickname.
Yes, correct.
another Gavin, Motormouth.
Ah, I like that. And you called me a Motormouth, Jade. I don't know if that was an insult.
I said sometimes you can be a Motormouth, not you are always a Motormouth. Craig from Point Cook says, hey, Jade and Dave, great breakfast show. Excellent work. P.S. I love playing words with friends with you, Dave.
Oh, I like playing words with friends with you too, because I like people that make an effort and not just do two-letter words. You, those people know who they are.
Qui?
No. Bye, Jade.
then Marco. Marco from Thornbury sounds like he's had a series of like random style nicknames. A couple of my favourites. He said the most commonly called nickname as a child was Bonky, which was similar to his surname.
Oh, God.
Then this hilarious one, Liza Minnelli. Apparently, I looked like her. Oh, Marco.
I hope somebody was there to catch me because I nearly fell off my seat.
He does point out that he feels like these nicknames have made him a stronger person. So at least, you know, he's looking for the positives here.
Yes, Marco, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Look, Marco Polo is another one from Marco.
He gets Marco Polo, which is my last name is Gulliver, so I get Gulliver's Travels quite, you know.
That's really long for a nickname,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but people are always like, oh, like Gulliver's Travels. Yeah.
It is really daggy. It sounds like something my dad would come up with as a nickname for you, Jade.
Never heard it before. Yep, yeah.
It doesn't fly.
I've only heard this name my whole life. Never heard Gulliver's Travels.
But the thing, the complications with your name, Jade, is that it's one syllable. And people sometimes, I think, especially Australians, struggle if you've only got a one syllable name. Like they want to add some sort of E to it.
Yeah, because
or
I mean, obviously
it.
You've got like you've got David, so it gets down to Dave. But they want to add something to mine, and I get called JD, and I hate it.
JD.
Yeah, and I like seriously, the only person who I will accept that name from is my nan. No one else is allowed to call me JD. I hate
JD.
It.
JD.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get Davo.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I think it's actually kind of hot because you make me sound like A tradie.
Yeah, you do. I'm picturing you in like some blue singlet now, a pair of stubbies.
Yeah, hard yakka. I'm making it work, darling. Which is what all Davos say in real life.
When I lived in China, Liam says, people used to mispronounce my name as lame, so I thought I didn't want that to be my nickname, so I encourage people to call me Lime.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Liam obviously can produce a bit of a challenge for people who maybe English isn't a first language, but by all means, take Lime over lame.
Yeah.
Always.
Love this one from Brendan. He says, loving the music and the banter. I have a mate who we call Features because in any social setting, he needs to be the main focus of attention.
Oh, my brilliant, God. Brendan snaps around. I might actually have to steal that from you, Brendan, because we have a few features in our friendship group, don't we, Jade?
Well, I think you're probably the key feature, aren't you?
Oh, honey, I am the main attraction every single
time. I am definitely like the preview trailer. If not, like, you know, sometimes before they have like those little mini cartoons that they produce? That's me.
Oh, that's you, because you're cute and lovable and people will still watch that.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I were friends for many years before we were together. We met playing rugby. Rugby nicknames, Dave, notoriously risque and or bad. And she had a nickname that was quite long and she got it shortened down eventually and it's got settled on Nip.
Now, I don't need to tell you guys, I don't need to draw a picture of what Nip might represent on a woman.
Yeah.
So she got Nip.
Yeah, and unfortunately it was just one of those things where she was a rookie and some of the older players decided you're Nip. Like, you know, it's just inadvertently given to her. But what's, you know, quite interesting is for all eternity, basically, not just the people on the team would play, they played on the team with her would call her Nip. All of the parents, you know, all of their parents, including my parents to this day,
and
call her Nip.
And that's got to be awkward. And
yeah, I know, it's awkward, but it's also, you know, it was an interesting transition for me to go from calling her Nip to her actual name because you're so in that zone that it becomes...
You started as friends and some things were okay then, but now that you're bumping whatever...
you can't call it there.
Yeah, look, I had to take it there. Now that you're doing whatever you're doing, you know, it's not appropriate to call her that anymore. You got to come up with something more affectionate, Jade. Yeah.
Well, you know, an actual name.
And how about her real name?
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, nicknames can be okay.
Can be okay, but depends on who's using it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.